Well, we see the ironies of God's providence all over these readings today. First, in the Acts of the Apostles, a special note is made out of Saul, who of course becomes St. Paul, conceding to and actually approving of the execution of St. Stephen. And of course, we see right at the very beginnings of Christianity, right after the revelation of the resurrection, right after the gift of the Holy Spirit, right after the apostles have been performing all these remarkable healings and other miracles in front of the group, what we get instead is a kind of an abject rejection of the teaching about Jesus, because there's a threat in what Jesus is saying and a threat in what Jesus is doing to the establishment of Judaism, both in terms of, you know, the Pharisaical party and the other parties. And because of that, of course, the natural reaction, the natural defense is to, well, you got to get rid of the bad guys. And so, of course, they stone Stephen, who's done absolutely nothing to them, a veritable innocent. And, of course, when he gets stoned, he imitates the Lord and says, you know, don't, you know, hold this against them. Saul, of course, is in a mode of, you know, sanctimonious, you know, anger and kind of a sanctimonious, you know, defense of the faith that he knows. He's got both of those things going on in him. And of course, so he's sitting there approving, nodding, you know, prodding on this execution of St. Stephen. And as he admits of himself later, he is at more fault than anybody, you know, for the initial pain of the Christian church, because he actively participated in this persecution. But yet, how does God work in history? How mysteriously he works. Because, of course, of this whole group, you know, Paul is being prayed for by Stephen in this last action. And, of course, we know what's going to happen, that God's not going to so much hold this against Paul or hold this against the people who are persecuting, you know, the Christian church. And by the way, many of these scribes, we don't know of many of these particular scribes who stoned Stephen, but the scribes and people who were present, you know, in many ways initially with the indifference to or the persecution of Christianity became Christians themselves, as did Paul. And so we know there's this huge turnaround that takes place. And so I think the message for me that, you know, I would take away from all this is, well, what are we going to do, you know, when we see, you know, so many crazy things happening in history? We look at what's going on in our country. We sometimes look at what's going on in Catholic education. We look at what's going on in the church, or we look at, you know, and we're thinking to ourselves, oh my gosh, you know, there's some good things out there, but there's some really threatening things out there too. And, you know, the secularization society, you know, how do we make anything out of this? You know, and all I can tell you is this: if God could take a Pharisee like Saul and could turn him into, you know, as it were, the second greatest apostle next to Peter, right? Could turn him into the apostles of the Gentiles, could turn him into the guy who writes the most influential epistles, right, that are going to affect the church throughout its entire history, you know, to this very day, could take the guy who's actively persecuting the church and make him into a St. Paul, God can do anything. I mean, God goes into the heart of this guy and takes all of his remarkable talents and turns them all to Jesus. And in, you know, kind of a one flash, as it were, moment on the road to Damascus, and 3 years of Paul going into the desert trying to separate all this thing, these things out and figure out what's going on, and some talks with the apostles, and he's on his way. he becomes, of course, this incredible figure. Oh, the Lord is the Lord of history. And martyrdom, of course, is a tremendous witness, even though, of course, it has the irony of the death of the saint in it. It, of course, becomes the most incredible witness to the Christian church. And it had to be for St. Paul, because he's sitting there looking at St. Stephen saying, forgive them, don't hold this against them, in the same way Jesus did. All of these things then add up. We just have to follow the teaching of Jesus. We have to follow all the ironies, right, that are just coming out there, right? We want to follow, right, you know, what Stephen did in his witness as a martyr. You know, we almost can't not trust that God is going to take every single action, every single cross, and turn it into a resurrection. And the more outrageous the cross, and the deeper the agony of the cross, the more resurrection he's going to bring out of it. He's going to bring it out in our lives. He's going to bring it out in history. He's going to give it through the mystical body when we offer up those sufferings. All the ironies that Jesus promises, they're all going to take place if we have faith that Jesus and his Father are the Lord of history, and that they, through the Holy Spirit, through their Holy Spirit, will bring about the most remarkable transformation, not just of individual people in human history, but they will bring about an eternal transformation into the kingdom of God. We just have to trust. It's not about the appearances or common sense. It's about being faithful to the teachings of Jesus, and in being faithful to it, to always say this prayer: Lord Jesus, I place my trust in you. Amen.